This is the Storage Unpacked podcast.
Hi, this is Chris Evans recording a Storage Unpacked podcast at Flash Memory Summit 2019. I'm joined by Praveen Asana from X10. Hi, Praveen.
Hi, Chris.
Would you like to just spend 10 seconds, introduce yourself and give people a bit of information about your background?
Yeah. So I'm with X10 Technologies right now, and I've had a long career in storage. I think I've been in storage for about 400 years. I started at IBM and in their storage division. And then I was at a couple of startup companies before I joined Dell. I was in Dell for almost a decade, helping to grow their storage business, making the fastest growing storage company. And then I did some stints in cloud storage. And now I'm back in the belly of the beast, driving hardcore storage.
X10 is focused on NVMe over fabrics.
Yes. So X10 has a next generation architecture that's native to NVMe, and so it basically maximizes the full potential of NVMe. It's not a legacy architecture. It's basically where architectures need to go in order to meet the demands of the next generation.
Great. So when we look at a show like today, naturally enough, there's lots of talk again about NVMe. You know, there's new releases of the standards which contain some additional features. So we see that NVMe from a device and NVMe from a fabrics perspective continuously being evolved. That's happening continuously. Now, we thought it might be a great opportunity to sit down and talk about whether we see this market as being reflective of something that we've seen in the past, you know, the way that technology is adopted, and really try to understand who really needs this technology and who's using it and how they're using it. And that includes both enterprise and hyperscalers. Now, with your background, having seen who knows how many instances of storage and deployments and SANs and storage networking, how do you look at it and think the adoption of NVMe matches what's gone on in the past?
Yeah. So, you know, one of I started in storage just about when SANs, storage and networks, were starting to take off.
Right.
And I saw that movie on how, you know, DAS storage was just not good enough. And so that's why we had this need to do SANs. And in some ways, it's, you know, storage, I always say, is like a rotating planet. It comes around every now and then, the same thing. And so in terms of NVMe, we're seeing the same thing. NVMe was so fast that the only way you could really utilize the performance was to put it in a DAS environment inside the server with when PCI connected. But that obviously led to the same kind of problems that you always have with local captive NVMe drives. Same thing that drove the need for storage area networks, you're seeing again within NVMe. And so there's a need to be able to attach NVMe over the fabric and pool the storage and get the maximum benefits from it. So that's why we're seeing this drive towards NVMe over fabric. Now,
before we go in a second, I just want to ask a pretty obvious question here, though, because I was there at the very first development of SAN, and personally, I thought it was a great scenario to be able to think, don't need storage in each individual server, pool it, centralize it, optimize it, protect it better, you know, make more efficient use of it, and obviously take away the physical need to have storage physically connected like with SCSI cables. One of the benefits that was sold when we moved to things like NVMe with faster connected devices in servers was architectures would change, and we'd now have application level protection, and we wouldn't need SANs again. We wouldn't need that sort of shared centralized storage. I don't necessarily think that's played out the way people thought.
Oh, it hasn't at all. And I think that the needs for resiliency are not yet being managed at the OS or application layer.
Yeah.
The needs for, the need to be able to pool storage and apply it as needed to different kinds of applications cannot be done effectively in a server environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the drivers, this whole idea of composable storage.
Yes.
So you basically can have different applications requiring different amounts of storage, different amounts of CPU. And to do that, you need pools of infrastructure. You need pools of CPU and pools of storage, and that's why NVMe or Fabric enables that shift. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I've seen, you know, in terms of the movie before, is the shift now to flash. That was a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And when flash drives came out, at first they were a premium to HDDs, and people said, we're only going to use it for very high performance applications.
Yeah.
And then what they would do, what the legacy storage companies did, was take the flash drives and basically retrofit them into their HDD enclosures. And what you saw, and I was at Dell at the time, what you saw is a minor bump in performance.
Yeah.
Right? You really never got the true performance benefits of flash because you were using HDD architectures for flash.
Absolutely. So you had things like back-end SAS infrastructure to connect devices, which share buses effectively. They share that available bandwidth. So there was always going to be a limit on the number of flash drives you could put into that sort of architecture because that bandwidth would be limited.
That's right. Exactly. So that approach and the limitations of that approach led to an opening for new entrants like Pure Storage.
Yeah.
As a flash native company, Pure, you know, burst on the scene with a flash native array, which was far better, far higher performance than the legacy retrofitted arrays.
Yeah.
So flash forward 10 years, no pun intended.
No pun intended, yeah.
And with NVMe coming up, you're seeing the same thing. You're seeing that people are excited about NVMe. They think it's a performance, high performance option, and they're retrofitting their flash arrays now with NVMe.
Yeah.
And they're not getting the benefit of NVMe because NVMe has so many lanes that, you know, you just don't utilize them in the regular flash arrays. So that's going to create an opening for new companies which have NVMe native architectures, and you know, I'm happy to say X10 is one of those companies that has that.
Okay, I just want to raise one point there, because one thing I've seen which I thought was quite interesting is that as vendors have tried to put NVMe into existing platforms or bought out, let's say, slightly modified versions of their platforms, one of the issues they have is that they can't put NVMe end-to-end in an entire array that has got shelves and multiple DAEs or, you know, disk enclosures, simply because they can't extend that PCI interface through all of those shelves.
Right.
So most of them actually have a thin layer of NVMe in the controller, and then a lot of the time it's just SAS after that.
Right.
So actually you think you're getting a good deal there, but actually what you're getting is you're getting a small amount of accelerated storage and the rest of it isn't.
That's right, yeah. And I think that model is going to fail for one more reason, which is that NVMe drive prices are heading to be lower than SAS flash.
Right.
In fact, just about 2 months ago, the NVMe prices broke the barrier, broke the SAS flash barrier.
Right.
And so that was a significant event, and I can tell you our incoming interest at X10 went up significantly once that happened.
Yeah.
But the second thing that's pertinent and important here is that because NVMe has so many lanes, so many PCI, you can actually get higher capacity NVMe drives than you can ever get with flash, than SAS flash.
Yes, yeah,
just
cool.
because of the access that's enabled.
Well, I guess what you're saying is that you could build a SAS drive that's 32 terabytes, but there wouldn't be any practical use to it because you couldn't access it.
Exactly,
well
exactly. Yeah, the flash technology allows you to build a more high capacity drive, but you can't get the data in and out.
Yeah,
right. So with NVMe drives, you can. So what that means is that NVMe from a dollar per gigabyte basis will become increasingly cheaper than SAS flash.
Yeah.
And so NVMe is actually becoming the dominant flash technology in the data center.
Right. So we're clearly seeing probably literally a repeat of the scenario we saw when we moved to all flash arrays.
Yeah.
We're seeing the fact that, yes, you could do it, you could put NVMe into a device, but actually in reality, like we saw with all flash, you really need to build from scratch. You need to start again, and you need to really think what you're looking to achieve. Now, what would you say the characteristics are of NVMe that you need to exploit to make that really worthwhile?
So what you have to exploit is, first of all, the incredible parallelism that you get from NVMe.
Yeah.
The fact that you have so many lanes, in the order of thousands. You want to exploit the raw performance that you get from that. And as a result of these attributes, when you pool the storage, you can still maintain very, very high performance if you do it correctly.
Right.
So that allows you to do a couple of things. You know, one is that it gives you a much higher performance system, but also one in a smaller footprint. So what, you know, one of the things that when I talk to people about NVMe is they ask about adoption. They say, okay, well, do people really need that high performance, or where are you seeing that adoption?
And we had that same discussion with the introduction of All Flash.
So, exactly.
So at the time I was working for a large financial organization, and we had discussions about saying, well, yeah, we can give you high-performance storage, within an existing array, but we actually didn't know how we could target it at the right parts of the application that would benefit from that, or even what they were, because we couldn't measure it. So it was a bit of a finger-in-the-air sort of thing. You know, we didn't really have a mechanism for determining that.
That's right, yeah. So what we've been seeing is that, you know, like all new technologies that are very, very high-performance, on the leading edge of performance, there are always going to be applications that can absolutely use that kind of performance.
Yeah.
So there is, with machine learning, AI, autonomous cars, there has been this incredible need to have really high performance storage. And, you know, when you talk about training data, the amount of data that you need to train a car is incredible. You're talking about 5 terabytes an hour, yeah, kind of data. To train a car. And so you're talking about terabytes of data needs to be processed in a matter of seconds, which is an incredible, yeah, amount of bandwidth that has to be forwarded to your farm of GPUs or TPUs that are doing this kind of processing. Storage systems today can't keep up with that kind of transfer rate.
Yeah.
So,
but the media can.
The media
we
can.
We just have to connect.
Yeah.
The media,
exactly,
to the application in a more appropriate way.
That's right, yeah. And so the dual controller architectures of the past are not going to work anymore.
Yeah.
And so you need a whole new kind of an architecture. And so Xtend has a design and architecture where each CPU core acts as a controller.
Right.
And so we can effectively, you know, get super, ultra high performance from even low CPU, low core count processors, which is very, very cost effective. So we're seeing a lot of interest in analytics, high-speed analytics. We're also seeing a lot of interest in HPC customers, and HPC has it for two reasons. One is that, and they always have a need for running simulations with increasing amounts of data.
Yeah.
But they're also introducing more and more analytics and big data into their simulations. So
right,
HPC,
yeah,
is going from being CPU-centric to now being storage and CPU as a combined entity.
Yeah.
And so customers are seeing the need for having very high performance storage.
And if it isn't a silly question, it may seem a silly question, it might be an obvious question, but is that low latency? Is it throughput? Is it bandwidth? Is it the ability to run highly parallel I/O from a particular host? Or is it a combination of all of
It's a combination things? Of all of this. What we've seen is latency matters, even in HPC. So all of those things matter.
Right.
So it's not isolated to one thing only.
So that's a high-end set of applications.
Yeah.
How does it then extend down to the rest of the, say, the enterprise?
Well, before we get to the enterprise, there's one other area that we've seen a lot of traction, and that's actually the hyperscalers.
Right.
The tier one, tier two hyperscalers, and you know, as you know, Amazon just bought E8, which is an NVMe or Fabrics provider, and that's a proof point that the hyperscalers are actually very interested in this kind of technology.
Yeah.
But we're seeing from our side a lot of interest from these hyperscalers, not so much because they want ultra high performance, but they actually are using the higher performance to lower the footprint.
Right.
In their data center. So basically they're saying, hey, I can get the same performance as I used to in the past with Flash with a smaller footprint of NVMe storage.
Okay.
And so they're using it as a cost savings. You know, you need less CPU,
yeah,
and less storage, and they're actually they're actually saving money, and that's why we're seeing a lot of interest from them on that.
Right, so I just want to go back and just explain that in a bit more detail, because I think there's two components to what you just said there. So that from the capacity of an SSD or an NVMe device, you'd think that'd be pretty straightforward. If you've got access to increase or use the density of that device more efficiently, then you can use the full capacity.
Right.
And maybe you're saying that, you know, previously they might be buying multi-terabyte devices but not using the full capacity because they couldn't get the I/O density on that device.
Correct.
That might be one.
Yeah.
The second one I think was quite a bit more subtle there. You're saying about CPU load. Now, without a doubt, I've seen scenarios where you look at an application and if it's I/O bound, you might have a certain number of processes in that particular server or whatever it happens to be, but you'd never see full utilization of that CPU because the I/O bound nature of the application means that you are basically sitting idle.
That's right.
So are you implying that what they're getting there is the ability to improve the utilization of the CPU?
Absolutely. So GPU clusters are a great example of that. So we have customers who have, you know, GPU clusters or TPU clusters, and what happens is that they end up idle for about 40 or 50% of the time waiting for the data from the storage.
Right.
And so that's just a total waste of money.
Yeah.
Right? So you can actually have fewer GPUs and have them fully loaded with data and be far more effective.
Right. So that was hyperscalers. And then we touched on enterprise there. I mean, that to me is an interesting one to see where that's headed, because you'd think that people would, if there's no change in price, good example of this, by the way, Pure Storage last year at their annual event said you could move to NVMe at no cost. They made a big scene of that because they'd built it into the platform. Now, does the enterprise need that level of performance across all of their applications, or is this going to be a transition where they move applications across to it?
Well, I would say that many legacy applications today probably would not benefit from a boost from NVMe performance.
Yeah.
However, applications are changing.
Yeah.
There's more and more next generation applications that are based on microservices that actually can use make better use of the parallelism provided by NVMe. Number two, analytics and AI is going to be much more pervasive in the data center, and that's going to require a different kind of architecture. And number three, whether the enterprise can use NVMe or not effectively, the fact of the matter is that because NVMe drives will be less expensive than flash drives, they will be the go-to drive. And in that case, you might as well figure out how to optimize the use of that drive.
Yeah, true. Good point. So a lot of what we talked about there really is focused on potentially appliances and technology that is what traditionally we would have seen there, certainly in the enterprise anyway, perhaps not in the hyperscalers. You're not focusing on selling an appliance as such. You're much more focused on delivering solutions through software. Why do you think that is a different and more appropriate route to follow than it would be to buy an appliance? I mean, and also, looking at the enterprise, how well do you think they are, how good do you think the enterprise is at being able to adopt the use of software rather than an appliance as a model?
So what I'd say is that the initial target customers, the ones who are most interested in NVMe or Fabrics today, are customers with large-scale deployments, like whether it's HPC or it's the hyperscalers.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they prefer to spec their own hardware. They don't need an appliance necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So generally speaking, what they do is they pick a standard bill of materials that they want to optimize over. With the hyperscalers, it tends to often be white box.
Yeah.
And they then, you know, prefer to have the software that they can load on and manage everything. Right? So for them, the software-only model is actually perfect.
Yeah.
What they want to make it work is that the software be compatible with a wide range of hardware and not be restricted by one or two hardware bombs. And in fact, one of the problems with software-defined storage in the past has been that, you know, there's an old saying, hey, we have storage software that works on any hardware as long as it's these two boxes.
Yeah, it's like going back to Henry Ford.
Yes.
You can have any color as long as it's black.
Exactly.
And it's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
And so one of the things that we did at Extend is to make sure that we have an architecture that is very agnostic to the hardware. And we did it through a unique microservices model that allows us to work with multiple different kinds of hardware very, very easily.
Okay.
So we have customers who have brought us up on multiple BOMs across their data centers, and it's been seamless. So I think that for large companies, large customers who are more sophisticated, the software on your model is great. As you get to the enterprise customer really doesn't want to, their consumption model, their preferred consumption model is to buy an appliance of some kind.
Yeah.
And so what we do there is work with an ODM or an OEM to basically be able to deliver that appliance to the customer,
right,
or a system integrator.
Got you. Okay. So in that scenario, it's exactly the same functionality, but just packaged differently at that point.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things I think, Praveen, just looking at the way we saw the adoption of SAN and where we saw the adoption of Flash was, clearly people started looking at it and thinking, oh, I can do something different with this that I couldn't do before. You know, for example, some of the analytics that we've seen probably wouldn't have been possible until we're in a position where we could deliver the super low latency of all flash. What do you think is going to happen with the evolution of NVMe and NVMe over fabrics? Are we going to see similar scenarios?
Absolutely. So I think that anytime you give smart people out there a new tool, a new platform that breaks the boundaries of the old platforms, you know,
yeah,
and breaks the boundaries in terms of performance, or breaks the boundaries in terms of price performance or cost, you will see new use cases that we never even thought about.
Right, yeah.
Right? And I'd say that the need to process large amounts of data very quickly is a trajectory that we're going to stay on. And I'll just give you one example. I was at a conference recently, and they were talking about modeling how detergent cleans clothes in a washing machine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's not a very interesting example. But they showed how, this is BASF, they showed how at the molecular level, the complexity of modeling that with different temperatures, how much agitation is happening, all of these things requires so much processing power that a 1.75 teraflop computer wasn't good enough.
Right.
And now with this kind of storage, they can use faster processors and do that kind of modeling.
And what was the outcome of what they were looking to achieve with that? You know, was that just selling a better product that was just
selling
more efficient?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But and that's, as I said, that's a first world problem of having better detergent. But then they're also talking about drug discovery and protein folding and all that kind of thing that really is actually going to make a difference in people's lives.
And to be fair, though, I think even with the idea of better detergent, that's still got an effect, because if they're selling hundreds of millions of tons a year of detergent, not pouring hundreds of millions of tons of detergent into our seas and rivers actually is a huge benefit for all of us.
That's a fair point. I mean, if you can make it more effective and reduce the amount of detergent you need by 30%, that'll make a huge impact.
That's an effect for everybody. So,
exactly.
So I think, yes, it might seem like a first world problem, but I think it's got a bigger impact for all of us.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to consider there, and there's a lot to look out for. If people want to learn a bit more about X10 and understand how you specifically are implementing NVMe over fabrics, where should they head?
X10.io.
Gosh, that's simple, isn't it?
Yes.
Nice and easy. Okay. Well, hopefully, if people are interested, they'll go and have a look there. But until then. And for now, thanks very much, Praveen, for joining me, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Chris.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com. Follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.